And I'm like, what is your vision? What is your vision today? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. The NIV says, cast off restraint. So where there's no vision, people perish. And they cast off restraint. There's nothing to give them boundaries. There's nothing to set your standard by. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The word vision or revelation is the word chazon, which means an enlightening disclosure or communication of knowledge or information to man from a divine agency. Now, this is not a Christian dictionary. This is a world's standard dictionary. Communication of knowledge or information to man from a divine agency. So even the world acknowledges that there's a communication system between the unseen world and the seen world. It's written in our dictionaries. That they recognize that there's a realm and there's something out there that talks and there's something out there that gives pictures to people and something out there that brings dreams that they don't quite know who he is. But we do. Come on. We get it. So to have a vision or a revelation means that there's a divine communication happening with you right at that moment. Who's had visions? Who's had God dreams? Doesn't matter whether it's one or 40. Who's had pictures? Images appear. So right at that moment, you were having a communication of knowledge or information from a divine agency. Right at that moment, you were having a connection with something unseen, someone unseen. And this scripture says that where there's no vision, people perish, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So I believe that vision comes from the person of wisdom. And that person of wisdom is?
Jesus.
In the form of? Holy Spirit. So we long for the enlightening disclosures. We long for those visions and those dreams. But the agency of that, it says here, is wisdom. Why do we need wisdom with revelation? Why do you think we need wisdom when you have a vision of
what to do and what to say?
Yeah. You need wisdom in what you're saying, wisdom in what to do,
and how to apply it.
And what's necessary in us. It's like when God gives you a prophetic word, you know, it's like, oh wow, God says I'm going to do this and this and this. But none of us are really ready for the, in order to get there, I'm asking you to do this and this and this. Maybe he's asking you to study something. Maybe he's asking you to deal with something in your character. He wants, there has to be something that shifts in order to get you from here to there. There's always an action on our part when God gives a vision. So if we're listening to wisdom's voice, we will have revelation, yeah? So if we're listening, if you're listening to Holy Spirit, to wisdom, the person of wisdom, then you will have visions, you will have dreams, you will have words, you will have prophetic utterances. Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen, we're alive.
Yes.
You will have enlightening understanding, and you will have an ability to see ahead. There will be an ability to strategize and plan for the future, an ability to set and work toward goals. So if you have no vision, you have nothing to work toward. Where are you going today? Going to Bournemouth. Oh, okay. So Bournemouth is my goal. How do I get there? My car's not working. Okay, I have to walk to a bus stop. I have to get on a bus. I have to pay the busman. I have to sit and wait in the journey and the process to get to Bournemouth. So whenever God gives a vision, there's always a process of how we get there. But when we listen to wisdom, we get to strategize because we know his strategy. We get to work toward our goals because we know where we're going. It gives purpose to daily living. If we don't have a vision, I look at so many people that are so depressed and struggling in life, and actually they don't have a vision. They don't know where they're going or what they're doing. They don't have a goal. There's nothing to get up for. There's nothing to get up for. It gives you the ability, when you have vision, it gives you the ability to exercise the necessary disciplines personally and socially. It's like someone, you know, say God is take a big something big. So say Haida was called to be a world evangelist. What are the things that we think Haida would need to put in place in order for that to happen? Haida can answer it as well. Nice.
Prayer.
Prayer. What's that, Haida?
Preparation.
What kind of preparation?
Training.
Yeah, big suitcase.
Studying and also finding out all about the logistics and ins and outs and medications and everything else.
So what would you study?
Theology.
Evangelism.
People.
Study culture.
Communication.
Yeah,
culture. Yeah. So if God said to Haida, I've created you to be a traveling evangelist, and Heidi just went, oh good, let's get up and go.
What's the vehicle?
There's things that have to be put in place. If you told me 20 years ago you're going to be doing this, I would have laughed at you. I've never been an upfront speaker. I'd be one that would hide at the back somewhere. But there's been a process. When you say yes to Jesus, when you have a vision of something and you say yes to something, he comes and he takes your hand and he leads you step by step by step, and he equips you step by step. Each level of the mountain, he's ready to go there with you. But there's things that have to be dealt with in my character, like my quick temper. I'm an Irish woman. I'm a fighter. And I have to begin to cultivate in my life the fruit of meekness and humility and goodness and kindness. Because my attitude was, well, just stop and get on, do you know what I mean? What are you worried about? Stop being such a wuss. Just get up and get on with it. That was me. If my child fell and cut its knee, and it was like, oh, just get up, stop your crying, dry that off, away you go. So for me, I had to gain some compassion, some tenderness, gentleness, which I'm still working on. Because he uses both, doesn't he? He uses your fight. But you have to know when you're going to fight and how you're going to fight. You've got to use the right weapons. The sword of the Spirit isn't to destroy people, it's to raise people up. The word of God is not to destroy people, it's to encourage people and empower people to become who they're meant to be. The Bible says life and death are in the words that come out of your mouth. Everything you say to someone or about someone can bring a curse upon their life or can empower them to go higher and greater. So, the ability to affect change in areas of personal or corporate influence. So each one of you has an area of influence. People that you get to do life with, people that you get to work with. And that's your sphere of influence, whether it's your family, your children, your workplace, church, anywhere, society, in the supermarkets, when you're traveling. You have a sphere of influence right at that moment that only you can change. You can bring in that sphere of influence, the atmosphere of heaven, and begin to shift atmospheres wherever you go. Why? Because you have vision for it, because you know who you are, because you walk with wisdom, with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it says that blessing and joy flows as a promise from the Lord. So blessed is the one who listens to wisdom's voice. Blessed, that word blessed means blessed, happy, joyful. So it's not just one bless, it's actually an inner bubbling up, a happiness and an inner joy that is released in your life. If we're not listening to wisdom's voice, that causes us to perish. Who wants to perish? It's like a plant, you know, when you go away and it doesn't get watered and it begins to die. It begins to perish. And that's like our lives. When we don't communicate with the Holy Spirit and we don't receive from Him, we don't like spend time just drink Him in, we begin to perish. Who knows how easy it is when you don't spend time with the Lord to end up in a place that you think, oh my gosh, I think I'm actually not even walking with God anymore. Happens so quick. Why? Because the enemy sneaks around like a prowling lion, like a roaring lion. He's got no teeth because he's disempowered. He's got no claws because he's disempowered. But he walks around each one of us looking for a weakness, looking for something that makes you feel insignificant, makes you feel like a failure, makes you feel like you're shameful. All these things, he's prowling around. So if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and the Lord saying to us, you know, like, you're beautiful, you're powerful, my Spirit is in you, my name is over you, the name above every name, that I've given you authority over every sphere of darkness, that I've given you a sword, that I've given you the word, I've given your feet to bring peace into chaos, the belt of truth around your waist that breaks the lies of people. If we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and believe that we're precious and honored and powerful, the enemy will come and whisper something else in our ear. If we don't fill the void with Jesus, it'll be filled very quickly with something else. And that's why so many people default back to old habits. Default back to old behaviours. They jump into the grave and dig up the old man. Carry him around again. Slide the monkey one more time with the corpse. It causes us to cast off restraint. So things that we normally would have disciplines in. Like I found this because I'm an ex-smoker. And I found that when I thought I had conquered the thing, you know, I don't smoke anymore. It only took me not to be walking with Jesus for a week or two, or not to spend time in the Word, or not to spend time like worshiping God. And what did I want? What was this need in me? It was, you know, I was like not walking. I was not like sucking up and drinking of the Lord. So He wanted me. The lion was around going, "You need a cigarette. You got a busy day today. You've had a hard day today. Sure, it's not going to be addictive again. Just have one. Nobody will know." I walked that battle so many times. And I know that the only way is to have a vision of where you're going, to listen to wisdom's voice, to spend time in the presence of God, and press forward in everything that He wants you to do. Honestly. We should never get too cocky about where we stand. The inability to hold back from returning to the old nature and habits. Blinded to what is going on around. So you don't have the vision of where you're going. You're blinded to everything that God is doing around you and where you're going. There's nothing to see. Like, Rich, come up here a minute.
Blind this man, because I'm wisdom right now. And I tell Rich to go and give Chris a biscuit.
Now he has a familiar memory. But he's going to trip over chairs, knock over the table. You can watch. Oh. Now, how do you know which biscuit to give? Now, where is Chris sitting? So, if he's got to a place where he can't go forward anymore. He doesn't know where to go now. Yeah? So what needs to happen?
Take the blindfold.
And what gives us vision again?
Spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Spirit of wisdom and revelation. There you go, you can have Chris and biscuit. So because he had vision, Chris got fed. So now you have vision that affects other people's lives. Yeah? So your vision is always for other people. God will always give you a vision that will affect the lives of others around you. It's never for you. It's always for those that he's taking you to. It's a journey. So Rich was blinded. He couldn't see what was going on around him. Anybody could have punched him, tripped him up, kissed him, loved him. But he wouldn't have been aware of who and what, and he wouldn't have been aware of his surroundings at all. He lacked direction. And I guarantee there was a wee bit of fear of the unknown in there as well. Success is difficult in our lives if we have no vision. If we are unaware of the person of wisdom and do not spend time in his company, we will not have a vision that that is God's vision for our lives. If we don't have God's vision, the enemy will bring another vision. When you look at places around, I'm trying to think of an example. Look at some of the churches that have vacated and closed their doors. What is active in those church buildings now? Clubs, usually. Clubs, strip joints, pole dancing. The world will come and fill the void when the church relinquishes their responsibility. And the Lord's really been speaking to me about vision. What is our vision? You know, where are we going? What are we doing corporately? And I believe God will give you a vision, has a vision for each of you individually, personally. There's also a corporate vision here of what God wants to do through us. If we do not have revelation of his vision, we will not have the restraint required to walk forward. In other words, the Lord in his vision will have goals and boundaries. He'll have a pathway for us to take. If we don't listen, we can wander off. We can go on the same mountain 3 or 4 times before we actually come back and say, Lord, where's the pathway? Where do you want us to go? Abraham wandered, he did. Children of Israel wandered 40 years for a journey that should have taken them 4 days. I don't want to wander for 40 years. Gosh, I'll be like 100. I only have 20 years left at that stage. So wisdom is the Holy Spirit of Jesus. The Bible says, ask, John 14, ask and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will see me. We get to see what the world cannot see. We get to experience what the world cannot experience until they meet Jesus. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You are in my Father, I am in you, that's Jesus, and you are in me. Ephesians 1:17, I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. The two go together, the wisdom and the revelation, release vision, that you may know him better. Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since today we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives to you. So where does our vision come from? The spirit of revelation comes from connecting with the spirit of wisdom, who is the Holy Spirit. So when we walk with wisdom, we can walk in revelation. We can walk with confidence. We can strategize. We can plan. We can set targets, set goals. We can face impossible situations with confidence. So how does he speak to us? He speaks through the written word. Everything that God speaks has to align with the word of God. This is your template. If someone gives you a prophetic word and it's way off the character of the word, you need to press the delete button. So God, the Holy Spirit speaks through the word of God, through the audible word of God, through prophetic words and prophetic teaching, and through priestly counsel and teaching also. So when you begin to walk closer with the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, you will receive visions, you will see dreams, you will have words from the Lord for people. As you soak in scripture, those scriptures will come to you in that time for God to release others, to release vision into their lives. I know when I was like younger, I had a couple of people prophesied over me things that were way out of my ball court. But do you know what it did? It gave me hope.
Absolutely.
You know? I grew up being told I was nothing. Being told continuously and over again that no one would ever listen to my voice, that nobody would ever love me or want me because I was so ugly. But when the Lord comes and begins to speak into your life, something comes alive that's been dead for so long. And that something is hope. That something can change. That can change your lifestyle and your destiny. That you're not just the sum of what people say about you, but there's someone greater that thinks that you're amazing and wants to do something with your life that's crazy. And God today believes that you're amazing. He loves you so much. I would never give my children for anybody. But he crushed his own son to show how much he loves you. We have a Father that is so perfect and wants to engage with us through the voice of the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit, so that hope can arise again. If I hadn't had those prophetic words from the Lord and reading my word and talking to him, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know where I'd be. Yeah. But I know that God, in those words, in that time, gave me hope and gave me a vision that I've worked toward ever since. When you're a little girl and all you want to do is hide away in your cupboard or hide away in your room, like many teenagers do, and God says, someday you will stand up and you will speak to hundreds. Someday you will stand up and influence the lives of others. And you're like, indeed, you go, me? Me? And it does something, you think, well, why? What? Me? How? How? Well, there comes your strategy. Why did I do that? Oh, do you think that's possible? And then you go back home and you get poofed again. Or in school, you get poofed again. And you get knocked down again. And then another word comes, and you're like, oh, that's that same word. Maybe it's true. Maybe there is something more to my life than this. Yeah, I can do something. And there's a joy starts to come. I mean, how many people out there at the moment have no direction, no vision? They're just tooting along day after day, working the work, coming home, watching the telly, going to bed, getting up, going to work, watching the telly, going to bed. Honestly, that's their life. And that's it, that's the working ones. What about people that can't even get employment? What about the homeless people? What's their day? What's their night? The night's the most fearful time. You don't know who's going to come around. You don't know in this weather if you're going to survive another night. Oh my gosh, Do we need hope? Who carries that hope? We do. But you've got to get a vision for it. You've got to see people through the eyes of Jesus. You've got to see people through the eyes of Jesus. A call to heed that says those who heed wisdom. Heed means, that word in Greek means to pay special attention to listen to tune into, to observe like the Sabbath, keep the things of the Lord, to act upon truth and revelation. There has to be an action to protect the vision. So whatever vision God has given you, don't let it be stolen. Protect it, guard it. And stay within the boundaries necessary for that vision to happen. So whatever it is that needs to change in your life, whatever it is you need to deal with, do it. There's my Irish man. Just do it, for goodness sake. We mess about too long, people. We blame our past for our present. Our past has no hold on us. It's dead. Stop using it as an excuse to go forward. I can't do that because this happened to me. Oh my gosh, I was abused as a child. For goodness sake. Look at me. I'm just like, if you want a template, here I am. Stay close to Jesus. He can do anything. Did those things happen? Yes, they did. Were they awful? Yes, they were. Did it hurt me? Yes, it did. It nearly destroyed me. But Jesus. But Jesus. The end result. Blessed and happy and joyful. So when I was away, this is what the Lord began to speak to me. He said, it's time to go for broke. It's time to go for broke. Got nothing to lose. It's time to just step out and believe. What have we got to lose? Our respect? Well, Jesus was, he didn't have any. If we look for the admiration of other people, we'll never do anything that's outrageous. And we're called to be outrageous people. King David says, I will become even more undignified than this when he danced in his underwear before the people. Jesus being manifested in this generation to me is the treasure in the field. I want to see Jesus made manifest in this generation. And that generation is from the smallest to the youngest to the oldest. I believe it's time for the ancient wells of our hearts to be reopened, refilled, refired by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it's time not to look to politicians for answers, but to wisdom's voice in order to move forward, in order to know how to pray for our government, know how to pray for our nation, for other nations that are in such awful, awful circumstances right now. We need fire in our souls again, that we would give everything to see our communities and culture transformed and reformed by kingdom culture. Do I have the Holy Spirit in me? Yes, I do. Do I walk with him? Yes, I do. But do I believe there's more? Yes, I do. He's an endless fountain. He's an endless ocean. So I'm just going to pray with you quickly, and then I've got a little bit of work for you to do in groups for about 15 minutes. Okay? So let's stand. Holy Spirit, voice of wisdom, Spirit of revelation, I pray for you guys this morning that you would increase in the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of wisdom, that you would know him, that you would know him in a way that you've never known him before. That you would be able to go deep into the river. And the deeper that you go, the closer you come to his presence. I declare that you will know him in areas of your life that maybe you haven't allowed him into. that you give him access into those areas that he could penetrate those deep places and uncover the things that need to be removed and fill them with something beautiful. I declare with you today that you will know that you are the beautiful treasure of the Lord, that you are a jewel in his crown, that there's nothing he would not do for you today. And I declare over you that you will know the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, living within you and active in you for others. I declare that you will experience him in ways over these next days and weeks that you've never experienced the power of God before. That as you walk with wisdom and spend time in his presence and soak in worship, that you will experience a fresh anointing of the fire of God. That the fire of the Lord will come upon you and come upon you in forms of compassion and meekness and love and tenderness and goodness. And that we would transform a generation by walking in the opposite spirit to the world, where the world wants to destroy and hate and push down and disempower. We will call people to rise higher. We will call them to love. We will love them in their pain. We will love them through their walk. So Lord, let your spirit of wisdom and revelation fall on these ones today. I declare that your eyes will be open to see and your ears open to hear. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that we're your treasure, that we're seated with you, that we're powerful, that darkness fears our presence because of the presence of God in us. Thank you that we can transform our community by loving fiercely. In Jesus' name, amen.